This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It is Tuesday, January the 7th of 2025. Chilly start here in Wausau. We are at our WXCO studios in the heart of downtown Wausau, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Currently fair skies, temperature of 11 degrees above zero. The temperature up a couple of degrees in the past hour, but the wind chill actually down a couple of degrees. Now we are 1 degree below zero for a wind chill. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up in just a little bit at 9:21, we'll be joined by Civic Media Political Director Dan Schaefer. Yesterday was a significant day, both in Madison and in Washington. It was the swearing in and the start of the new legislative session, and it's very interesting. And also, I should say, in Washington, D.C., the new Congress was sworn in. They had the counting of the electoral ballots. Donald J. Trump was officially elected President of the United States. And now we'll get set for Inauguration Day coming up in 13 days. But it's interesting now, and I think especially here in Wisconsin, where it's been such a campaign focus for the past year. I mean, 2024, it was not about governing. It was not about legislating. It was about campaigning. It was about television ads. It was about radio ads. It was just about overwhelming people with campaign literature. And it's almost like you're detoxing here after a year of nothing but campaigning. And now we're going to go into some time where you have some actual governing, where you have the budget process getting underway. We're going to have a budget address coming soon from the governor. You're going to have the Republicans respond to that. You're going to start to see some hearings. You're going to have opportunities for the public to speak on it. So just in general, going to have governing. And it feels like in so many different ways we have ourselves a constant campaign cycle. And in some ways, unfortunately, I think we're going to see more of that. When you hear the discussions when it comes to what is happening in terms of selecting a new party chairman for the Democratic Party nationally, with Ben Wickler, the Wisconsin Democratic chief, one of the candidates. And the talk is, well, you can't just show up around election time. You have to be able to, you know, be a presence all the time. And I hope when you talk about that presence, it doesn't mean in terms of constant campaigning. It just means spreading the message, talking about what you're doing, talking about the main planks of a platform more than anything else. So, again, it's an interesting time as we transition now into 2025, and we're going to talk about the start of the new legislative session, and who among the new Democrats in the legislature could be important new voices within the party. How does Dan Schaefer see the next few months developing with the budget? Of course, there are the spring elections. We have a significant Supreme Court election coming up in the spring as well. And There's a whole bunch more. And I want to ask Dan as well, when are we going to start seeing those ads for the state Supreme Court? Because you know they're coming. It's almost like the calm before the storm. I mean, at what point will we start to see these candidates start to hit the airwaves? So we'll get plenty to talk about with Dan Schaefer coming up in about 10 minutes at 9:21. Before we go any further, we need to say hello, good morning, and welcome back to our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer, the one, the only, Mr. Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
And I bring in Ian because, of course, coming up in the final segment of the show, as we do each and every day, we wrap things up with our daily history lesson. We talk about some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. We talk about some of the celebrities that are celebrating birthdays today. We talk about some of the reasons to acknowledge today, some special events. And then, of course, we wrap it up with our number for the day quiz. Mm-hmm. And we give Ian an opportunity to take the quiz. And we give him three choices. And based on the math, you should get one out of three right just by guessing. So that means that's 33% right. Is always that first goal, where if it's above 33%, that's a passing week. If it's below 33%, it's a failing week. But we have higher standards than that. We don't want just a passing grade. It's like tapping a kid on the head after getting a C+. That's not good enough. We want even better. We want a winning week, which is more right than wrong, 3 out of 5. And then, of course, after that, we want a record week, 4 out of 5, because that's the best he's done, 4 out of 5. And then, of course, we want, at the end of that rainbow, the perfect week, 5 out of 5. Can you think of the celebration? We're going to have to get balloons in the ceiling just in case we have a 5 for 5 week.
It would be quite the celebration.
It would be quite the celebration. So that is always the goal. We will not have a 5 out of 5 week this week, though, because yesterday did not get it correct. And we're going to try it better today. And the thing about today is the topic is right down your alley. I mean, okay. I cannot think of a topic that would be better for Ian Welsh, especially now. Do you have any idea what I could be talking about here? I think you're going to be excited. I know you're going to be excited.
Are you talking about Disney World?
I tell you, you're on it. Because, and again, this is not me picking it. I get this service, and part of it is a number for the day. Sometimes I'll go away from it. I'll say, that's not a good number. I don't like that, yeah. So I'll make it up. But that's always the first one I look at. And I just pulled it up here a few moments ago. It says number for the day. And it says, it involves Disney World. I'm not going to give you the specific, but Disney World in Orlando, Florida. So
that is exciting. I like that.
I tell you. So it's going to be, and the reason why Ian is excited about it is because how many days until you leave?
Let's see.
Ian is going to Disney World in Orlando coming up very, very soon.
It was 2 weeks on this past Sunday, so now it's
12 days.
12 days, yeah.
12
right.
days. And again, for folks who may have missed it right after Christmas, what happened here? Why are you going to Orlando and Disney World in 12 days?
Well, I think my Secret Santa definitely surprised me. My mom and dad have surprised me. The final Christmas gift I got for 2024 was going with my dad and my aunt and my cousin as well to a Disney World for 3 days. So I leave on the 19th. I'll be gone for the next 3 days, and I'll come back on the 23rd. But I'm going to be spending 3 days in Disney World. I am so excited. I've been planning out my trip. I've been, getting ready to, make sure we have all the essentials, make sure we have the travel plans figured out. And overall, it's just a really great way to start off the new year, because I haven't been to Disney World in quite a few years. Not since everything got, updated and, some new attractions got put in. I am extremely excited to check out.
Are you
going to
burst? Are you bursting with excitement?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right. Yes, I tell you. And what is the first thing at Disney World that you want to do or see?
Ooh.
Well, when you get into the park, when you say you're most excited to do.
We're not sure exactly what park we're going to first, but I will say that one of the newest rides I am definitely going to go on, I don't care how long I have to wait for, is that at the Epcot Park, they have a an all-new Guardians of the Galaxy ride. I'm very excited for that one because I've heard a lot of good things about it. I'm a huge Marvel fan as well. So that is definitely on my list for things that I must go on before I leave.
Terrific. So we'll look forward to that. The countdown will continue, and we will see if you better be able to get the Disney World number for the day right.
I certainly hope so. Otherwise, that's going to be very disappointing.
Yep. So that will be coming up at the very end of the show at about 9:56 or so, our number for the day quiz with Ian.
That's right.
Also, don't forget tonight we have high school boys basketball. We are, of course, what are we when it comes to high school sports?
We are very, very proud to be the only local Owosso radio station that still covers play-by-play action of high school sports in the area.
Bingo. Exactly right.
And we're very proud to keep saying that, too.
And we're very busy with it as well. So tonight, high school boys basketball, the Owosso West Warriors and the D.C. Evergreens. I'll be at the Owosso West High School Fieldhouse starting with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip at 7:15. That is right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And I mentioned in the last hour that you can get our programs, both this show and the Big High School Sports Show as a podcast. You can also get our high school sports play-by-play broadcast as a podcast as well. You go to, again, WXCO.fm and click on air, and if you go down to the bottom, it'll say WXCO Sports. Click on WXCO Sports and then be able to see our previous broadcast. Go to civicmedia.us, go to on air, and again, you go down to the very bottom and you'll see WXCO Sports. Click on that and you'll see the play-by-play games that we've had recently here on this very radio station. So, and again, if you're on Spotify, subscribe. Subscribe to this show. Subscribe to the Big High School Sports Show. Subscribe to WXCO Sports. We would appreciate it.
You don't have to pay anything for Spotify either.
No, you don't. So exactly right. So all of our programming, in fact, not just our programming, but throughout the Civic Media Radio Network as well, is all right there. So, again, take advantage of it and just go to the website. You can see all the shows as well. And maybe discover something that would be of interest to you. Of interest to all of us, I think, is the political landscape here in the state of Wisconsin. And coming up, we will be talking to the Civic Media Political Director, talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media coming up next. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. It is Tuesday, the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You can be me. And
welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Sometimes I drop into that bad habit of calm. WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Not a bad start here in North Central Wisconsin. Chilly start, 11 degrees above zero, but fair skies. And very happy to welcome back to the program the political director of Civic Media, also the founder and the editor of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. Dan, great to have you back on.
Great to be here, Chad. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. But let's start off by talking about what happened in Madison yesterday. Obviously, it was the first day of the new legislative session, the swearing in of a bunch of new members of both the State Assembly and the State Senate, and also some comments made by leadership throughout. And one of the things that I've been hearing a lot since the election, where the Democrats were able to close the gap between themselves and Republicans, both in the State Assembly and the State Senate, was perhaps because the Republicans did not have roughly a two-thirds majority in both the houses of the legislature that we would see a little bit of a moderation in terms of being able to work together a little bit more. One thing that kind of jumped out to me in looking at what people like Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu and even a person here in North Central Wisconsin, the new Senate president, man, why am I blanking out? Maybe because I want to blank out on her name.
Would that be Mary Felskowski?
Yes, Mary Felskowski. The comments were not really that different, I thought, than what they would have said if they had a two-thirds majority. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, I think it has to seem like they're attributing the fact that they lost so many seats almost solely to the maps and nothing to do with the policies that they had been putting forward and you know, really coming to the center. The Republican-controlled Wisconsin state legislature has really governed as a pretty far-right state legislature, all things considered. You can look at some of these, you know, maps of state-by-state maps of where, you know, certain policies are adopted. And in many cases, Wisconsin can look a lot like a deep red southern state in those instances and not the very purple state that we are. And you know, this is a state that re-elected Tammy Baldwin and Donald Trump on the same ballot. I'd say we're pretty purple. Yeah, it did not seem like from those comments, you know, it's not a huge change in leadership, right?
Right.
It's still Robin Voss running the show in the Assembly, Devin LeMahieu in the Senate, maybe some changes on the Senate side of things. I think their losses were a little bit worse than what the Republicans saw ultimately in the Assembly. So maybe some change there, but I can't really imagine Robin Voss, the longest serving Assembly Speaker in Wisconsin state history, elected again by his caucus to that post again this year. I think there were two members who did not vote for him. I think they just kind of abstained from voting. So, you know, those margins are a little bit closer to elect Robin Voss Assembly Speaker than it was under previous maps when they had the ridiculous gerrymandered majorities. But he, I think it very much seems like he's still calling the shots and you know, he's not, we shouldn't expect Robin Voss to act any differently than what we've come to know from him in his, you know, now, what is it, 13 years as Assembly Speaker. Yeah.
I think you made an interesting point about, you know, how Wisconsin kind of fits similarly to some of the deep red, deep south states. In fact, you could go even further, say that a number of those deep red, deep south states are actually more moderate in terms of their policies than the state of Wisconsin with the Republicans. Why is that? Why is it that we have seen in some areas actually some moderation with some different issues in the south? And we have not seen, we have lists of Wisconsin being one of two states doing this or not doing that, or one of three states doing this or not doing that. Why is it that Wisconsin is such an outlier between any other state, especially north of the Mason-Dixon line, when it comes to even Republican majorities being as, you know, as firm on these beliefs here that we don't see elsewhere?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a couple things there. So one is that, you know, some researchers and analysts will put it this way. My friend John Johnson from Marquette University puts it this way, is that Wisconsin is really a very blue state and a very red state mapped into the same state. So the Republican side of things that we have here in Wisconsin is just a very red version of that Republican Party. And I think there are a number of forces driving that. But I think ultimately, you know, you mentioned how Wisconsin can look a lot like it's some of these southern states. And one example that I always turn to with this is Medicaid expansion.
Yep.
So 40 of 50 states have expanded Medicaid. We actually had a piece on this at the Recombobulation Area about Medicaid expansion just last week from Sean Fetteplace of the Main Street Alliance. So do go check that one out when you get a minute. But part of it too is that Wisconsin does not have a path for direct ballot initiatives to pass certain laws. So you see in, you know, states like Missouri, states like Arkansas, some of these other states that have this option to put a certain law on the statewide ballot, oftentimes, you know, whether it's Medicaid expansion, marijuana legalization, expanding or codifying abortion rights, you know, a lot of that can be passed by voters in deep red states at the ballot box in a statewide vote. Wisconsin does not have that option, but currently at least. There was another part of the news yesterday as well with Governor Tony Evers again proposing that, this time as part of his state budget, allowing voters to put certain items on the ballot, which I think would be a very good thing. I think it would, you know, we have a lot of legislative gridlock here in the state of Wisconsin, especially in this era of divided government, when we have a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature who often do not agree on much of anything. I think that, you know, having a ballot initiative on that, on to address a policy like Medicaid expansion, you know, would really pull us further to be more better reflect the purple state that we really are.
Do you think there's any hope for that? Often when the governor will make a proposal like this and make a proposal with the budget, which we'll talk about coming up, Robin Voss and other Republicans immediately say DOA. Is this DOA, or is there some hope for something like that to get through?
You know, I think it's interesting. I think, you know, in the assembly, you have a 5-vote margin. Right. So it's basically 5 districts that are kind of swung either way, could have been a Democratic majority. And I think those of us in the media, those of us following the day to day of politics, should really be focusing closely on those 5 members to see where exactly they are. You know, there were some really, really close races in Fox Valley and Green Bay, in the Milwaukee area suburbs, throughout the state. And I think, you know, whether it's freshman representative in the Green Bay area, Benjamin Franklin, or second term representative in the Milwaukee area, Bob Donovan, some of these people only won by a few hundred votes.
We got a hard break here. We'll get back into that after.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, you can call or text us as well, 715-382-9297. We're talking to Civic Media political director and founder and editor of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. And Dan, in terms of, you mentioned the number of new faces in Madison to start off the new legislative session. Who are some of the new faces that are most exciting to you? Who do you think that maybe has that ability to become people that we will notice, that people that will be able to do maybe big things either in the short-term future or even long-term future?
Yeah, I think it starts with taking a look at some of the new members of the Wisconsin State Senate, because I think that was really the biggest win for Democrats on the ballot this year in Wisconsin were those wins in the Wisconsin State Senate, picking up, there were 5 competitive seats that they had, identified, and they ended up winning all 5. And so I think, you know, and not only is it removing longtime state senators like Dewey Strobel, who, you know, having his voice out of the mix, I think is going to be make for a healthier discussion in many ways. In Madison, he sat on the Joint Finance Committee. He was always a prickly individual in those hearings. But I think, you know, the person replacing him, Jody Habersinek, and a very accomplished person in her own right, I think she will bring, you know, I think a number of these people who were elected, Jody Habersinek, Kristen Alfheim, Jamie Wall, you know, I think they are really more results oriented than a lot of, perhaps some of their Republican predecessors or otherwise. And I think that is, you know, an interesting aspect of what they bring to the Senate, because I think the Senate is what we're taking a look at here, you know, from the electoral standpoint. You know, it's an 18-15 breakdown, and I think there are going to be three key seats that we're looking at going forward, you know, on Democrats' chances of flipping the Senate in 2 years, and whether you know, they actually are able to get things done in this version of the Senate with Republican control, I think will go a long way towards taking a look at that. And I think we mentioned another name early on there, Mary Felskowski, who took a step up into the leadership role. She was really key. She's a Republican. She represents a large district in northern Wisconsin. She was really key in a lot of the shared revenue debates that were happening in 2023, you know, kind of returning a lot of funds to local government. We're already kind of seeing some of the limitations of that law in some respects, but also I think Felskowski has been front and center on the push to legalize at least medical marijuana. So I wonder if that is going to be, you know, a push from the Senate side to, you know, to revisit revisit aspects of that shared revenue law, and then take a look at marijuana legalization, or at least some sort of policy governing, you know, cannabis or whatever it might be, however you might, all these Delta things and whatnot. Wisconsin doesn't have like any kind of centralized governing structure that oversees any of this. Even some states that have don't yet have recreational legalization and whatever it might be, they still have some sort of structure in place at the state level. Even places like Iowa, Ohio just passed something. Like most of our Midwestern neighbors have some sort of policy on this. Wisconsin has nothing. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder if, you know, Felskowski stepping into that leadership role because of her longtime advocacy on the issue would factor into that issue in some capacity.
You mentioned the Democrats going 5-for-5 in those swing districts in November. I play some poker, and that's the equivalent of getting an inside straight. I mean, in November of 2024, in a year that was not a great one for Democrats across the board, I would compare it to, you know, you look at the in the presidential race, the so-called swing states, they all went to Trump. What was the key for Democrats to win those swing districts in a tough year generally for Democrats?
Yeah, you know, part of it is obviously the maps and having new districts that better reflect Wisconsinites. And Kristen Alfheim in the Fox Valley is a great example of this, you know, represents much of Appleton and Neenah and Menasha and other parts of the Fox Valley. You know, that's a pretty, you know, it's a purple part of the state, but Appleton in particular definitely leans blue. And so that, you know, that is part of it. Having not carving up a lot of these districts, there hasn't been a Democratic state senator from representing parts of the Fox Valley since the gerrymander was installed, since 2012. That is certainly part of it. But I think it is for a number of the Democrats who won, and I'm thinking about Jody Habersinikin in the Milwaukee area suburbs, Sarah Kieski in kind of South Central Wisconsin. You know, they were running against unpopular incumbents who had long records of taking action that was against the views of Wisconsinites. And I think, you know, Dewey Strobel, they really ran against his record. Joan Baalweg, they ran against her record. And so I think it was less of a, what's the key ingredient that Democrats need to adopt to win every race in future elections? It was more, you know, things that were specific to the candidate. And I think that was a more effective strategy. And I think they really stayed above the fray, battling a lot of those ridiculous attack ads that we saw on the air last, you know, September, October.
Again, we're talking to Dan Schaefer, the political director of Civic Media and also of the Recombobulation Area here on 98.9 WXCO. I want to ask you a question about the budget, maybe in a little different way, because I think we have one of the interesting aspects is I think if you were to list priorities Democrats have and Republicans have when it comes to the budget, you'd have a long list of priorities on the Democratic side. I think you'd have one thing on the Republican side, which is tax cuts. I can't think of really anything else that's the big priority for the Republicans. But looking at it differently, if you're Tony Evers, if you were in the room with Tony Evers right now in terms of plotting how to best be able to get the priorities that he and his Democratic colleagues would have. What piece of advice would be the best way to go about this process, knowing that you're still in the minority in both houses of the legislature, knowing that so often the governor coming up in February will be making his budget address, immediately will be said by Robin Voss or Devin LeMahieu, dead on arrival. What advice would you give Tony Evers for the best way to win in this battle?
That's a great question. I do think because the margins in the legislature are different, I think there is a chance to find some more moderate Republicans to, you know, speak to certain issues. And I think it is looking in part at some of the campaign records. You know, you had Republicans running on, just as an example, you know, funding childcare. Mm. Well, Republicans didn't do anything, didn't put any new funding towards childcare and gutted the governor's childcare accounts program. So are we going to take a look at some of the campaign rhetoric from some of those, you know, representatives and senators in key swing districts? And I think this is part of the new makeup of the legislature. We're not all power, you know, Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu are not all powerful here anymore. They can't afford to lose as many Republican detractors within their caucus as they once could. You know, the Senate was at a supermajority. The Assembly was two seats away from a supermajority in the last session. That is not the case anymore. The supermajority is gone. So I do think the strategy should be, you know, talking to people like Bob Donovan and Jesse Rodriguez and Benjamin Franklin and some of these other representatives in key swing districts to try and see what their priorities are and see if they could have certain things included in the budget and pass a budget that could have some bipartisan support to go forward.
Let me ask you about, again, I almost cringe to ask about another election, but it's so significant coming up here in the spring for the state Supreme Court. And you have Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel. And obviously incredibly important. And you have Schimmel, who has a record of winning statewide. I mean, he was able to do it, and then he obviously lost in a close race. I would think he has bigger name recognition. How do you look at that matchup? Because you do have a Dane County Circuit Court judge in Susan Crawford, and then you have Brad Schimmel, who does have maybe that statewide, at least recognition. How difficult is this race going to be for Crawford, or maybe how difficult is this race going to be for Schimmel? What's your early feel for this race?
Yeah, I think Democrats are, you know, the left is running more of kind of running it back with what they've been doing in a lot of recent elections, having a very qualified woman who was running for state Supreme Court to be the candidate for the election. We saw that with Rebecca Dallet. We saw that with Janet Protasiewicz. And as the liberals have flipped the balance of power, that has been an effective strategy. Part of what has been effective for them for that is they were able to run against Daniel Kelly, a terrible candidate. They were able to run against him twice. And so both times he was on the ballot statewide for, as the kind of the conservative candidate, he lost by double-digit margins to both Jill Karofsky and Janet Protasiewicz. I think Schimmel is a better candidate than both of them, but I think also, you know, he has some views that he expressed particularly on abortion and reproductive rights, you know, when he was running for attorney general in 2014, that might not fit a 2025 electorate in Wisconsin as well. So I think he's vulnerable on a number of issues that have proven critical in some of these off-year special election, spring election type cases. And I think the way that our politics are realigning too, you know, we saw in November, there were a lot of people across Wisconsin who don't necessarily vote in midterms or their local elections or spring elections, and only turned out to vote for Donald Trump when he was on the ballot for president. So will some of those Trump coalition voters, the political science dorks like myself call them the low propensity voters, will those voters show up in April for Brad Schimmel the way they did in November for Donald Trump? I think that is, to me, that is the central question of this race, because if they're able to keep that coalition together and bring some of those, you know, not as regular voters out to the polls for this election, I think that's trouble for the, you know, liberal leaning candidate in this one, because that has proven to be a pretty formidable coalition in this state.
When will the commercials start?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I think, you know, we'll have some sort of a primary, not for this race, but for a number of other nonpartisan races in February. And so I think once we get past the primary, which I believe is February 18th, sometime that week, you know, I think that's probably when we'll start seeing a flood of ads. And when it was, you know, when the balance of power at the state Supreme Court was in play 2 years ago, when Janet Protasiewicz on the ballot, we sure saw a lot of ads really ramp up in March and April before that election as well. That was the most expensive state court race in American history. And I think a lot of the prognosticators out there are expecting this one to eclipse that number as well.
And in our final 90 seconds, I'm going to ask for another prediction here. Is Ben Wickler going to be the next chairman of the National Democratic Party?
I think the momentum is on his side. I do think that I think it would be the right choice for the DNC to go with Ben Wickler. But this is not like it's not a campaign for, you know, the hearts and minds of the electorate. It's right. It's a campaign for the very specific constituency, which is the members of the Democratic National Committee. So, you know, it's going to be a different type of conversation. But he's got momentum on his side. Chuck Schumer backed him, very powerful donor, the owner of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman, I want to say. I might be messing with that last name. But, you know, he's got momentum on his side. I do think he's got a good shot at winning, and I would not be at all surprised if he is victorious in that one.
Read Dan Schaefer's stuff at the Recombobulation Area and, of course, at civicmedia.us. Dan, really great to have you on. Thanks again. We'll get you back on real soon.
Thanks so much for having me, Chad. Be well.
Absolutely. The time is 9:48. We got one more segment to go here before we wrap things up on this Tuesday morning. And we will have our daily history lesson coming up next, including our number for the day quiz. Can Ian get back on the winning track? Well, we'll find out coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is the 7th day of January of 2025, so that makes it easy. It means it's the 7th day of this year. There are now 358 days remaining in 2025. Yep, the countdown continues.
Yep.
But a lot of interesting events have occurred on this date in history, January the 7th. If you go back to 1927, 98 years ago today, the Harlem Globetrotters played their first game. On this date in 1992, AT&T released a video telephone. The price was $1,499. On this date in 2015, a terrorist attack on the offices of satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo in Paris killed 12. On this date in 2019, Amazon topped Microsoft to become the world's most valuable listed company for the first time. And on this date in 2024, Lily Gladstone became the first indigenous person to win a Best Actress Golden Globe for her work Killers of the Flower Moon. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Kenny Loggins, and again, if you were tuned in earlier to Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow and Greg Bach, they were playing a lot of Kenny Loggins during the course of the day, celebrating his 77th birthday today. Actor Erin Gray, she was one of the stars of Silver Spoons back in the day, 75 years old today. David Caruso, actor. When he was on NYPD Blue for the first season, it was incredibly good stuff. And then he left, decided he wanted to be a movie star, turned out to be not the right decision, came back, did CSI Miami for many years, successful career, but boy, he was missed when he left NYPD Blue. Just an incredible character, played Detective John Kelly, still great, great stuff. David Caruso, 69 years old today. Katie Couric, longtime Today Show co-host, CBS Evening News anchor as well, 68 years old today. Nicolas Cage,
yes,
actor, 61 years old. Do you have
one of my favorite?
What's your favorite Nick Cage movie?
I love him in the National Treasure movies. I also loved him in the Ghost Rider movies.
All right, so happy birthday, Nicolas Cage, 61.
He's one of those unpredictable actors where you never know what he's going to do.
Exactly. Jeremy Renner of the Marvel films is 54.
Oh, another one of my favorites.
Formula One driver, seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton is 40 years old today. And Blue Ivy Carter, Beyonce and Jay-Z's daughter, is 13 years old today. And if you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Harlem Globetrotters Day. It is International Programmers Day. Bobblehead Day. Do you have any bobbleheads?
We do have a couple of bobbleheads up by the computer in our house. I think we have one of a Broncos player. We have one of Bucky Badger. I think we have one of Aaron Rodgers, too.
I got a Bobby Uecker bobblehead that I really like. Bob Uecker, yep. But bobblehead day. This one, I'm guessing probably everybody's going to do it, but I don't think people should announce they're doing it.
Oh, boy.
It's Pass Gas Day.
Oh, jeez. You might want to pass on that one.
There you go.
That's not necessary.
It is Tempura Day as well. All right. It's time now for our number for the day.
Yes.
Our number for the day quiz with Ian. And I bet you remember what our topic was.
Disney World.
Yep. Our number for the day. Visitors to Disney World in Orlando in 2023. So how many visitors came to Disney World in Orlando in 2023?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Is the correct answer 10 million? Is the correct answer 50 million?
Okay.
Is the correct answer 250 million?
10 million, 50 million, or 250 million?
Yep. 10 million, 50 million, 250 million.
Not last year.
This was in 2023. Visitors to Disney World in Orlando in 2023.
Disney World is very popular, and a lot of people go there. So I really got to think about this one. 10 million, 50 million, 250 million. Okay. Well, okay. I'm going with my gut here. I'm really focused. So I'm going to say, final guess for 2023, I'm going to say 50 million. I'm going to say 50 million people visited Disney World in 2023. That's my final answer. I'm going to say 50 million.
So going with the middle number again, aren't you?
Yep. Going again. It's my final answer.
All right.
Lock it in.
All right. The number of visitors to Disney World in Orlando in 2023 was 50 million.
Yes.
So you got it right.
Got it.
After all that,
that is a good sign.
There you go. So you're one for two now this week. And that means one more, you'll clinch a passing grade. And two more, you'll clinch a winning week. So good way to.
It would be impressive, though, 250 million people. That seemed a little out there.
Yeah, that was. All right. Well, thanks again to our guests, Susan Pellequin and Kim Susans from the Wausau Curling Club and Civic Media Political Director Dan Schaefer. Thanks to Ian Welsh. Ian, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Have a great day.
And don't forget, tonight at 7 o'clock, it's high school boys basketball as the Wausau West Warriors take on the DC Everest Evergreens. And again, 7 o'clock for the pregame, 7:15 for the opening tip, right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up next, it's Matt and Air on Air, and we'll join you again tomorrow, 8 o'clock sharp here on WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.